This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
That was interesting timing. Talking a little Hunter Renfrow with Jake Eisenberg last break. If you guys missed it, breaking news. The Royals have DFA'd Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah, it just happened.
And I have called up Nick Lofton.
Yeah.
Instead, so, Nick Lofton has done a really, really good job of getting on base. We talked about this as it related to some of the other AAA guys. It worked with Drew Waters. There's a lot of optimism in my mind that maybe Nick Lofton can just be a slight upgrade in that spot. Even if it's not, he's the long-term answer goal. I like the idea of seeing what Nick Lofton has to offer.
For sure. Look, go back. I feel weird. We keep talking about timelines and stuff. You know, we talked about Jack Caglione getting called up to AAA close to Memorial Day. We said, hey, keep an eye on around Memorial Day for Hunter Renfrow. That's typically when they've made decisions like this. It's when, I think it was May 29th last year. Was it last year or 2 years ago? I get confused now. Hunter Dozier, 2 years ago, right? 2 years ago, they made a decision on Hunter Dozier around Memorial Day. Here we are around Memorial Day, and enough is enough. The performance hasn't been there. There's other options. Hunter Renfrow doesn't have any. He's a vet. This needed to happen. Some people thought it should have happened a month ago, obviously, right? They were very patient.
This is a lot of money they've eaten in the last couple of weeks.
Between Stratton and Renfrow, I think.
About $9 million
bucks? $8 to $9 million. Yeah, $8 to $9 million.
And look, that's an ask. Like, when you go to the owner and you say, hey, I know that money I asked you to spend a couple of years ago on some players, I'd like you to just pay $9 million, but they don't play for us anymore. Is that cool? And I understand that part of that just comes with the job, right, Gold? Every contract's not going to work out. It's not like they paid those guys Anthony Rendon money, and they had $300 million laying around for a guy that didn't play. They did it for this. Nick Lofton, this year in AAA, here are stats, Gold. 40 games. He is hitting .295 with a .451 on-base percentage. And a 919 OPS. 919 OPS is the highest at any point in his career at any level of the minors, other than the, I don't know, six games he played in rookie league on a rehab assignment out of, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's the highest of any stage of his career. He's having a career year in AAA, 26 years old, and more importantly in any of this, and we talk about this with Jonathan India, the thing that he is doing, and has always done well, but is doing at an extraordinarily high rate right now, walking. He's always walked. He's got an on-base percentage of .371 in his minor league career, but he's getting on base at a .451 clip. So his plate discipline interests me in the sense that this is probably, even if mild, a slight upgrade.
Yeah, that's the thing. Look, obviously long-term, or at least now with the big league club, Nick Lofton is going to be the guy that they hope can give him a little bit of a boost. I still think, though, this is more about Hunter Renfrow getting DFA'd and what the offseason decisions were or weren't around the outfield position than it is that they think Hunter Renfrow and Nick Lofton in particular, Nick Lofton's like the guy that's going to help the offense, right? Like I understand people say, whether it's Lofton, whether it's John Rafe, call him up. It is still more about Hunter Renfrow is more the story getting DFA to me than it is that what Nick Lofton's going to bring to the table for this team. I hope he brings a lot to the table. I guess
you're saying making a point. We've cleared the way for Jack Caglione. Right field is now, unless Nick Lofton absolutely wrecks.
Like, and it's not a shot.
They cleared the decks.
It's not a shot at Nick Lofton. He deserves an opportunity again.
Because of Drew Waters.
I hope so as well. And yes, like there is a certain truth to, like, hey, anything can be better than what you were getting. Totally understand that logic. I'm just saying that, you know, today the headline is Hunter Renfrow DFA'd, and that's the bigger story than it's like, oh my gosh, Nick Lofton got called up. You know what I mean? Like, personally, I actually would have rather seen John Rave, if you're giving my complete truthful answer on that. John Rave would have been more exciting to me than Nick Lofton. I just,
because it's a player you haven't seen yet. Sure. We've watched Nick Lofton play quite a bit.
Yeah. But it needed to happen. I know there's a lot of Royals fans. Not that you ever
earlier than I thought it was going to be.
Is it for you?
A couple weeks earlier.
Okay. Memorial Day is Monday.
I know. A couple weeks earlier than I thought that they'd go with Hunter Renfrow, partly for the reasons that Jake was pointing out, right? He's been hitting a little bit better. He hit slow at the beginning of last year. Maybe they just, like, you know, talked themselves into it. They just made the move with Stratton. I thought that would take him a little bit more time to eat the money. And in the long run, I think their long-term answer there is Jack Caglione anyway. So maybe Renfrow just buys them a little bit of time there. I think this comes down to the thing that I had said before the trade deadline, which I actually think is really important. You might be telling yourself, the trade deadline, that's 2 months away. What the hell are you talking about? And what J.J. Piccolo had told us on Tuesday, hey, there's not a lot of time for, like, there isn't a ton of time for teams to talk right now about their players. They don't do that right now. They'll wait. It'll be a month from now. I think it's really important for the Royals to know what they have to trade for, to know what they have in-house. Can Nick Lofton be the just random extra outfielder you were going to trade whatever double-A prospect for the rest of the way? Because I still think the biggest bad addition is Jack Caglione. That timeline's been moved up, in my opinion. Across the board, it's been moved up already because Memorial Day was the earliest possible thing we could conceive. We're pretty much there, which means Omaha's timeline's moved up too. So if Nick Lofton can be a contributor gold, my pressure on the can we add one more bat off the bench who does whatever, maybe that can be Lofton. Maybe not, but like I'd at least like to know.
I'll say this though. Like they on opening day had MJ Melendez starting in left field.
Yeah.
And
Hunter Renfrow on right.
And right. And on May 23rd, one is in AAA struggling. The other is DFA'd and is no longer be with the organization. That's something like
that's a mess up.
That's a real conversation. That's like doesn't mean that other moves haven't worked out. Obviously they have, but in the offseason, they traded for Jonathan India, and I still like the trade. I really do.
Yeah, but I don't have any problem with it.
We all know, they took a dice roll with running it back. I'm not saying they never tried to acquire an outfielder. We all know the reports that leaked out. They were close on Santander and all.
It's not going good.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, it's not that they didn't recognize a problem in the outfield. They did not go and fix the outfield in the offseason. They didn't.
No.
Okay. And
I think they felt like they could only fix one.
Right, and they thought there was still something there for MJ. He obviously struggled to say the least. Hunter Renfrow, I don't know if it's father time or what has happened to him from not just offensively but defensively. I mean, Hunter Renfrow was barely in the lineup the last 3 weeks, Cody. Like how many days a week was Hunter Renfrow in the lineup for the last 3 weeks? So at some point you're even wondering what is he doing here, kind of thing.
Yeah, he just kind of.
So your opening day left fielder and right fielder are no longer part of the big league club. One maybe one day gets called back up. The other one is done. That's pretty telling. And so now you're in a spot like we all know they need to go acquire an outfield bat. This makes it as obvious as ever been that unless you believe John Rave is also part of this, unless you believe that Drew Waters is also part of this, Jack Caglione cannot be the only guy that just saves your outfield and saves your lineup. So this is just a patch. That's all this is. Like this
yeah,
Nick Lofton. Nick Lofton is just a patch for this team right now till Caglione/outfield acquisition outside the organization or something like that. It's more about those two guys that are not here than it is that Nick Lofton has just done so much that, oh my gosh, we should be excited for him.
No, it'd be different if it was if it were Jack Caglione, we're having a different conversation.
Yeah.
They really are doing it and we're making these conversations and everything else in between. Who are the, besides Santander, who is the other couple of guys who got Profar, who's been suspended for 80 games?
Yep.
And Santander were seriously the two biggest names being mentioned in the outfit for the Royals. Would you be happy if he'd given $120 million to a guy hitting .188 with a .266 on base percentage and only 6 home runs 43 games into the year? No.
No, so but here's the thing. We can't have it both ways on that. So
there weren't a lot of good options in the app.
For sure, but we can't have it both ways on that. We can't, when I say, not you, but I'm just saying in general, when I say, hey, they didn't go and get an outfielder, you can't, we can't say on one hand, well, they tried to get Santander, and then now you can't say, well, did you want them to give him X amount of money? Well, yeah. They were willing to give him a bunch of money, just not the additional year. Let's act like the Royals did. Yes, they may have caught a break for now on Santander, but we can't be like, well, see, they just knew they didn't want that guy. No. They wanted Santander. The Blue Jays overpaid at an additional year. I'm glad they didn't overpay and add an additional year.
Same.
I still would have been fine with them adding Santander in the offseason.
But given the two choices, this ended up maybe looking like the better of two bad choices. And I'm in no way defending the fact that, I guess it always comes back to the same thing.
Yeah.
This goes like the offensive line with the Chiefs. I don't expect anyone to bat 1,000 in their decision making.
For sure.
At any high level across the board. What I do expect is for you not to ignore what your problems are. The Royals did not ignore that outfield was a problem. They actively tried to fix it. They did not have any solutions that they felt that they could afford. They instead attacked the bullpen, which has been going gangbusters, by the way.
Yeah.
So that part's been going okay. And now their hope of like, well, I guess we're just going to hope Hunter Renfro or MJ Melendez can hit has bombed. Yeah. They have ejected quick. It's May 23rd. We didn't actually get to Memorial Day, and they have ejected on the outfield plan. The backup plan of we're just going to hope one of these guys are good now, it failed. No doubt, JJ would tell you the same thing, it's bombed. But they did not like just try to ride it out for the rest of existence. And yeah, no, I'm not with you. I'm not like, I'm hoping that Nick Lofton turns into the Drew Waters success story of this year, which is a player I've seen enough that I'm going to have a hard time being like, can't wait to see Nick Lofton in the lineup tonight. Can't wait to see what he does for the Royals. But he is deserving to be a big league player on the roster, playing as many games as Hunter Renfro was, way more than Hunter Renfro did at this point. So I'm excited to at least see, can he be an upgrade? Is there movement there?
Yeah.
Because a slight upgrade for them, when they're winning every game 3-2 because of the pitching, that doesn't mean nothing to me.
And then there's also just the bigger issue other than the offseason. The question right now is, look, Hunter Renfro doesn't have any options, and they're going to eat some money, and he never was going to have a long-term future in the organization. MJ Melendez, obviously they hope would have a long-term future. He's in AAA. The guys that are not hitting, that were going to always be the reason this offense has success or doesn't have success, was not going to be because of Hunter Renfro. To get over the hump to win the division, we said, hey, if Hunter Renfro has a nice year, if MJ Melendez has a nice year, oh, that's how this team can go win a division. But ultimately, for this team to be competitive, to be in contention for that, none of that happens unless Bobby Wood Jr., Salvador Perez, Vinny Pasquantino, and Jonathan India are hitting. So we can talk about
four hitting.
We can talk about
hitting,
the
okay.
Yeah, we can talk about the mistakes, and they clearly made one by just rolling with Renfro and MJ Melendez.
It was.
But the bigger fix, and still the problem with the overarching problem of the offense this year, is not because Hunter Renfro wasn't hitting. It is the guys I just mentioned, the heart of the order, the key pieces, the franchise pieces, that have not performed. And I know Vinny's hitting a lot better in May, but I'm just still saying this entire season so far. Obviously, Bobby's been doing pretty damn good in over 300.
And Mikel's done really
India,
well. But that's been kind
India's,
of like the
Indian. India's been disappointing. Michael Massey's been disappointing. These are all guys that were supposed to be part of that mix as well.
That's the other question, too. It's like, when you're being patient with guys like Michael Massey has options, and you know they've got Devaney and some other guys hitting well in the minors, what do you do? And you don't want to lose on the defense either. For Massey, which I do think is important to note when you're talking about a guy who's struggling, he is still adding value to the team in places. I'm a little surprised it wasn't Rave. Lofton's hitting better. Because that's going to be the inevitable question. Should it have been Rave instead? Lofton's hitting better. He's hitting for a higher average. He's
I mean, I think the other night,
more.
Rave was like 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts 2 nights ago or something.
Yeah,
like
but
that.
That's one game. I'm not going to isolate
but that's, somebody
game.
Texted in and I mean, they're looking bigger picture on what John Rave has done in AAA and what Nick
But Rave is also 27.
Nick Lofton.
Lofton, and look, Lofton's probably, let's be honest, Lofton's probably an easier stopgap. Been with the big league club. They know the services he offers. They know the positions he can play. He can play infield and outfield based on the last time he was here, Gold, right? So he's a little more versatile than John Rave, which I think is probably important when they're looking at their options. I do like teams willing, like patience is important. I'm not saying that you can't, like, for the same reasons, like patience with people are always going to point out Mike Moustakas or hell, a guy like Chris Bubich. Chris Bubich's career has not been like gangbusters this whole time, and he's just been like a light up ace the entire time. There's an article up of the Kansas City Star today, I think by Sam McDowell, talking about how he said he was in an all-time low from a baseball standpoint not that long ago. And right now, he's pitching better than Paul Skeens. So, like, I'm not saying patience can't play out. But when we're talking, like, middle-aged veterans who have been given plenty of rope in order to try to succeed and aren't doing it, then it's time to look for other options. This was, I thought it would take him a few more weeks to get there. That's all.
Yeah. So
I thought it'd take him a couple more weeks, but instead they're going to go Nick Lofton. If you guys missed it, Hunter Renfro's been DFA'd. Nick Lofton's been called up in his place.
Someone says, hey, Lofton's on the 40 man. Rave wasn't easiest answer why. Yeah. We went through this though yesterday. There's so many easy switches on
that
the 40.
Too.
Yeah. I mean, but
there's a lot of ease. I'll just be honest.
Also, Hunter
cleaned some house on the 40.
Also,
Hunter Renfro,
it was on the 40 man. You just DFA'd him. There's your quick swap.
Yeah,
you know,
they have room on the 40 man right now because Hunter Renfro is.
Yeah, so that's. Yeah. I mean, is it easier? I don't know if it really is. One guy you just cut essentially was on the 40, so opens up a spot. He's designated for assignment. He's not gonna. I don't think anybody's claiming him or anything. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's done.
But that might also explain. Like, I don't remember because baseball's so complicated.
You have to wait a certain period
until
or something?
He's DFA'd. Would you have to clear a 40-man spot in order to call up?
Even
Lofton?
Then, it's still easy.
In
to
that
do.
Case, it's like I looked. It's not hard. The 40-man's not
the
just like
do it all the time.
Flanny, I'll give Flanny credit for this. Flanny, I used to sit in like these little meetings with like Dane Moore, Flanny, these other guys, and I've heard executives say the same thing, but I think Flanny's reiterated most in the public thing, the former Royals insider for MLB.com. He's like, the manager, I can't even remember the manager he used to quote, or the general manager used to quote. He's like, you need space on the 40 man? Give me 10 minutes. I'll clear the, like GMs, I'll clear the decks. We're good. I'm not going to have any trouble. Like, that feels like I wouldn't be making my decisions based on the idea that I need to make room on the 40 man. I feel like I'd find some way to do that. But, yeah, it's been interesting to see. Really interesting to see. And curious to see where this goes. I really hope Nick Lofton performs.
Yeah, at some point in the next hour, we'll try to see if we can get Vern on the show as well, connect with him, get his perspective on this move. I wouldn't say anybody's like surprised by it. It's just today was the day. Today was the day it happened. This is why I always, whenever we talk, we've unfortunately had multiple players in this spot where they've got some money on their contract and maybe they haven't performed. We had this with Hunter Dozier a couple years ago. This has been the time they've done that, Cody. Like they ate the money on Dozier basically almost a week to the, you know, a week, 2 years ago, a week, you know, May 29th of 2023, I think it was, or whatever. Yeah. So they've done it.
They've been more than willing to do it. Well, interesting day. Wasn't expecting Hunter Renfro to get DFA'd today, right before
2 minutes after we hung up with Jake Eisenberg.
Not quite the Friday news dump, but pretty close before a Memorial Day weekend, you know?
Well, they got a divisional series coming up. They were off yesterday. So while we may be finding about it today, I'm assuming this was something that was obviously in motion yesterday. I don't know where, because remember, Nick Lofton was in AAA Omaha. They were in Salt Lake last night. Nick Lofton in the lineup last night for Salt Lake?
I don't know. Didn't see. Before we get to Trash Today, can I applaud the text line?
Okay.
I am pleasantly surprised to see how few of you are saying, why isn't it Jack Caglione? We're learning. I'm really proud of everyone. I was afraid, Drew, when I said they DFA'd Hunter Renfro and Jack Caglione hit a home run last night, that the text line was just going to be like, why not Cags? Where's Cags? Get Caglione up here. I thought it was going to go that
Did
route.
Did you see him hit that home run the other night? Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're just excited that, you know, that there's some movement. That's all.
All right, let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
This comes from a TV station in Toledo, Ohio. WTOL, naturally. 11.
Okay.
CBS affiliate. And it takes us to a high school where a gentleman was arrested by police. Well, we'll just let the story take over from there.
We continue to follow breaking news. A Venezuelan man is now facing charges after allegedly posing as a student at Perrysburg High School for more than a year.
Anthony Emmanuel Labrador Sierra was arrested yesterday on a felony forgery charge. Steve Iwanek went out and talked with community members about this. Steve, those people you spoke with are shocked.
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it, Kaylee. Sierra, according to court documents, was allegedly posing as a 17-year-old, but in actuality, he's actually 24 years old. And Perrysburg School says he's been enrolled with them since January of 2024, and that leaves community members asking, how could this ever be possible?
His work visa expired in 2023, the same year he contacted the school district to enroll. Sierra started as a student in January of 2024, using a Venezuelan birth certificate stating he was born in 2007. But some argue Sierra may not be a fraud, but rather a victim. Advocating Opportunity is a local nonprofit which represents trafficking victims in legal matters. They told WTOL 11 they are handling Sierra's asylum application. And the founder says, quote, "Nothing in our possession leads us to believe he is anything other than a 17-year-old victim of human trafficking."
Well, that story took a turn at the end.
So he's a 24-year-old in high school pretending to be a 17-year-old. Yeah, so they're claiming he's a victim of human trafficking?
So, well, the police are alleging he was a 17-year-old student in high school for a year that wasn't 17, that's actually 24. Then this group is claiming this is all a misunderstanding. He's a victim of trafficking, and he actually is 17. That was not the turn I was expecting at the end. I knew the beginning part of the story. Drew said, oh, just wait. There's more. That I was not expecting that. Yeah. So I have no idea what the hell's going on with this one. I'll be honest. Look, if he is that and he's posing as a high school kid, that's very weird, all of that. The other part, though, what?
We probably don't make nearly as big of a deal about like the movie plots that used to do this, like Never Been Kissed. Should this guy pretend to be like an adult in a high school setting? I mean, that's just kind of a bummer.
I mean,
if you knew it like 20 years old, now obviously you're happy with your life now. But at 20 years old, you just like pretend to be 17 again under a different name. You're like, I'm going to restart life.
No.
Get into a better school.
No, that's weird.
Do this all
Very
over
weird.
Again.
I'm going to go hang out with the kids that I went to high school with before. Like, I don't need to go to school again.
How many high school friends do you guys still see? It might be a handful.
I mean, my best friend.
It is a handful.
My best friend has been a friend since high school.
I have more friends high school than I do from college.
More from high school than college?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually don't have as many college friends still.
People were from different
parts of the country. So everybody moved back. Like, not everybody stayed in Kansas City. A lot of friends were in Chicago or they were in Denver.
I don't know how many people I regularly see from high school. A couple. I mean, I've got like a friend that I've had since, you know, first grade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a couple of those, but like, we don't see each other every weekend or whatever. You know, we see each other every once in a while, like most adult friendships.
Yeah.
What's a standard amount of adult friendship that you'd be like, they're still good friends of yours? How many times you see them a year? Once a month?
Good.
Twice? Six times a year?
Good.
I think you still
be
good friends, and I could see you six times a year.
Yeah.
As adults with kids.
It's hard though, because so for instance, like a lot of my friend group is. Like, we have some friends in Kansas City, but a lot of my, like...
They got a text and stuff, yeah.
A lot of my main friends, like, I still keep in touch with them, but we're all in different places.
816 says, you guys are my only friends. I'm glad we can be friends, 816. Happy to be your friends, you know? We're going to be there in case you have any questions. I don't know. I think six times a year is enough to still stay really good friends with somebody. Just as long as you're in regular text communication. If you have kids, it goes a little bit easier for you to, you know, you and Dusty can go...
Go up to Omaha
together. I can't just like randomly go up to Omaha
That's right.
I got a plan. I got like birthday parties or whatever. I got two birthday parties this weekend. Dance recitals. That's next weekend. Drew?
Here?
It's just stuff.
Here or elsewhere?
No, the one next weekend's here.
Okay.
One next week.
His other trip is not for a couple weeks, I think.
Yeah. To Texas, that's in like, 3 weeks.
That is the trash of the day. Did not expect that turn.
We're going to need a follow-up on that one. I got a lot of questions.
Yeah, I don't know if, again, maybe it's completely legitimate. Maybe that's what actually happened. I'm not sure. All right, up next, we will get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, something that Pro Football Focus put out about the last 25 years of the league and what the restructure could look like for one Patrick Mahomes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
That's coming up.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, coming up in about a half hour, we're going to be joined by Josh Fernier, our Royals insider. We'll get right back into Hunter Dozier, who, if you're just joining us for the first time today, welcome to the show. But the Royals have announced that Hunter Renfro was designated for assignment. Nick Lofton has been called up from AAA Omaha. Maybe surprised that it like just happened today, but obviously this is a move that everybody had been anticipating for quite some time. Some wanted it to happen weeks ago. Some wondered if it would take a couple more weeks. Thought Memorial Day weekend would have been a spot based on prior history with the organization, and they ended up DFAing him around the same time they DFA'd Hunter Dozier a couple years ago. So we'll get back into that, get Vern's response to the move and reaction. Plus, what does he make of Nick Lofton? See if he agrees with me where this is more about Hunter Renfro than it is like they think Nick Lofton is going to be somebody that's going to come, you know, and really jumpstart the offense. Again, I hope that's the case. It's more about that. Hunter Renfro, your right fielder, and MJ Melendez, your left fielder from opening day, are no longer on the big league roster. But let's talk a little Chiefs football here. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour.
Yeah, I was looking at, and I think that it's probably important to look at, or the Chiefs Red Half Hour, brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. It's deck season, after all, I believe. It's patio season at the very least.
No doubt.
You and I definitely agree on that. No question about it. But the all-pro football-focused team, NFL's best players of the last 25 years, is out cold. And of course, when it comes to that, I'm at least a little intrigued by who they view are the best players at each individual position, and of course, how that relates to Kansas City. Look, you're not going to be surprised to find out that Tom Brady was the top-rated pro football-focused quarterback of the last 25 years. Does that surprise you, Gold? Stunned by this development?
No, and that's a reminder. I'm glad you said that because this is off of their grades. So the same grades that people get frustrated with during
especially
the season,
with Mahomes.
During the season, these are the same grades we're talking about across a 25-year span.
Yeah, and so like that, yes. And so, of course, he's going to rank as high as he went. The first Chief that shows up is at wide receiver. Former Chief Tyreek Hill is the top-rated wide receiver of the last 25 years. Actually, he's the third highest-rated. Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, and Tyreek Hill as your starting wide receivers. Bad news on tight end. Rob Gronkowski is one. George Kittle is two.
Kelsey's not even top two. I'm sorry, of the last 25 years. This is where the grade stuff gets so frustrating because that's okay.
It's the guys you'd expect. Right. Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt, Von Miller, Miles Garrett, Ray Lewis, some of the older players.
Chiefs didn't get honorable mentions. They only got honorable. Yeah, because Mitchell Schwartz got honorable mention.
That was honorable mention. But that's about it. Yeah, man. I was kind of surprised considering, look, I understand that the Chiefs have only been good for 10 of those 25 years. But that's not no part of that, man. So the Chiefs have been a functional, one of the best organizations in football for 10 of those 25 years, and you're telling me they got one dude?
Mm-hmm.
It's not their tight end. It's not even the guy who's on the roster anymore. Look, they weren't going to win quarterback. The Pro Football Focus grades don't like Mahomes, which I think should tell you something about your grading system personally. If I had a grading system and it regularly rated Patrick Mahomes as like the eighth best quarterback in the league, I would personally question my grading system. But like also, Tom Brady was always going to win that over a 25-year time period with a minimum number of snaps. Who else would be on there, though? Other than, let's say, the obvious miss, Mitchell Schwartz, Joe Tooney, and Travis Kelce. I would argue those would be the three where you're like...
Would Tooney be a Chief or a Patriot? Like, I mean, can you claim...
Anybody who's played a number of snaps that I would consider them a Chief at any point of their life. I'd consider Joe Tooney a Chief.
Yeah, we won a couple rings with them, so I think that's why you can still include him in this conversation. Yeah, it's the grades, because otherwise, it's like, I'm sorry, nobody in their right mind can think over the last 25 years that George Kittle was a better tight end than Travis Kelce. I'm sorry, like, George Kittle's amazing.
Not a smart football
George
person,
Kittle is an amazing football player, all right? George Kittle is awesome, you know, and they're actually good friends, too, by the way. But I don't know how you can watch and not think that Kelce, maybe you want to have we can have the Gronk conversation. I think Kelce's still the best tight end in the last 25 years, but
I think there's a reasonable conversation to have with Gronk.
Yeah, I will understand that convo, especially with the success in the Super Bowls and everything to go with it that Kelce also has. But I don't get how Kelce would be the third best tight end grade wise in the last 25 years.
That's Who's your guess at running back, by the way?
Hold on. 25 years.
The runner up surprised me too.
Okay.
Because there's been so many great running backs, obviously.
Yeah. I think Derrick Henry's got to be on this list.
He's first.
Okay.
Who do you think would be second, Drew? Ooh. If it wasn't Derrick Henry, who are you guessing? Last 25 years?
I would have guessed
Adrian Peterson.
Okay.
I'm thinking the
two names that come to mind immediately are Christian McCaffrey.
I would have guessed him.
Or, oh my gosh. He didn't play long enough. It can't be. I'll go, there's no way. I'll go Marshawn Lynch.
That's second.
Really?
And so Marshawn, yeah.
I was about to say Todd Gurley, and I'm like, he didn't play long enough.
Calvin Johnson was the honorable mention wide receiver, by the way,
okay,
for what it's worth. But no, I was trying to think about it, and I actually, in a weird way, this makes me feel better about what the Chiefs have accomplished, not worse. Because it's easy to just be like, stupid pro football focus and their numbers and not knowing anything about the league. And not having any, like, it'd be easy to, like, do the Kansas City Sports Talk Radio in which you're like, they just hate people. For what it's worth, Chris Jones was second to J.J. Watt. He was also honorable mention.
I mean, that's fair.
For interior defensive line.
That's a hell of a competition you're dealing with.
He's ahead of Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
That's interior defensive lineman, and they had him ahead of Aaron Donald.
And understandably so, if I was an Aaron Donald supporter, I'd say, whoa. I mean,
back way the hell up. Yeah, sure.
Who wants to know who the top kicker is? Did Butker make that list, or was that Adam Vinatieri?
It wasn't him
or Justin Tucker.
Wasn't any of them.
Wasn't Tucker?
Matt Prater.
What?
I don't know.
That one I think is the most egregious. Actually,
they kicked Tucker off the list because of what's going on.
That's the most egregious.
This to me, I have a real. I gotta be honest. I have a real problem with the idea of grading kickers because
it's just as simple as you're making the kicks.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only job. If you're telling me I shaved points because he was right as center, listen here, dum dum. It doesn't matter. Did he put the ball in the uprights is the only grade.
Yeah.
Accuracy. Yeah.
Did you make
is
the damn
legitimately
kick?
What were you grading? His plant foot? Shut up. That's where I would argue. That's the dumbest thing to grade.
And
at least
Prater,
punter you could grade. There's a little subjectivity
you
to it.
Matt Prater has also been very, very good, but Tucker or Butker or Vinatieri should have all been ahead of Matt Prater.
I'm
for
sure
the
you
best
guys.
Prater is one of just three kickers in Pro Football Focus era with at least 80 field goals attempts of less than 30 yards who never missed a kick from that range. He's the only kicker to fit that cohort with at least 90% accuracy from 30 to 39 and at least 75% accuracy from 40 to 49 and 50 plus.
All right, wow.
I'm not saying Matt Prater's not a really good kicker. He didn't have a hell of a career. We just like sometimes the thing about Pro Football Focus is you don't have to be insane about it. Sometimes we can just be reasonable people.
But grading can be very subjective, as we found out in a lot of things. You grade your students' work. You're subjective.
It's true.
It's
true. I am subjective in how I grade
cards
these
podcasts. Get graded all the time, and you can strongly disagree with the grades that may or may not get.
Draft
this is how this works.
Get graded, yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Grading can be subjective. That
very
is
much.
True.
Very.
But I guess this is always the issue with, and I'm not kidding, with a different sports talk person in this town, I got in a serious fight about whether Pro Football Focus grades are subjective. I use that term. They took great offense.
Oh, okay.
Because there's like, there's a methodology. I'm like, yeah, but they have to decide if that person won the rep, thus making it subjective. It's not black and white. There's no black and white in giving somebody a grade for, I thought they threw that pass well. Mm-hmm. It's objectively subjective, in my opinion. Doesn't really matter. But like, with kicker, what are we doing? That's just about how many times. I don't care how many times you hit an upright. It went slightly right. Who made the most kicks? Just give me the highest percentage guy. That's the best kicker.
Also big kicks. Especially, I mean, if we're talking about subjective.
I don't want everybody who's great from 40 in. I want the guy who can also make me 52, because the best kickers are the ones who can drive from deep.
Well, I mean, just in general, too. Like, how many big kicks in Matt Prater's life has he made in terms of, like, you get to go to a title game because of this? You get to, you know, I think that also should be part of the subjectiveness of this list.
I weirdly took this as a compliment for the Chiefs.
Clutch kicks or something.
Because I do actually think when we go back and you look at this, the dynasty run from the Chiefs, it's kind of, I think, maybe a smaller handful of Hall of Famers compared to some of those other elite teams of the last 25 years. When you start going through and you're like, all right, who are those elite teams in the last 25 years? And you start thinking, I mean, across the board, the Patriots obviously being a portion of that, they got two, three guys sprinkled throughout this list, right? They got multiple guys floating through there. Then you start thinking about, like, all right, what are the Seahawks team that went on a run? They got a couple of guys on there. The Ravens team that would have been included on the one that had the all-time great defense, they got a couple of guys in this list. The Chiefs have one. And then some just honorable mentions, right? Here or there, there's a couple of guys who managed to sneak into the list. But it's not much, man. They're not, you know, they didn't have a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro safety floating through there all those years. They had Tyrann Mathieu, really good player. He didn't make this list, right? It's kind of an interesting way to view it when you're talking about 25 years. I guess, really, the Chiefs are only going to have, of their position, who are the guys that they have that will be top three considered in their position when they retire?
Top three in football history or just?
Football history. Because I think about the Patriots.
Mahomes.
And Kelsey.
And that's going to be it. That's going to be it. It's just, you think about the competition you're dealing with for some, like,
any other spot.
Chris Jones is awesome, but he's not going to go down as the third best defensive tackle in NFL history. No, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Tom Brady and him and Gronk, right? Yeah. I don't know if there's another player on their list. Dynasties do it without these elite level players. Like, Tyreek Hill's not going to go down as one of the five best wide receivers, 10 best
ever?
Wide receivers.
No.
Ever. But it's just, it's important to kind of look through those things and, I don't know, take a little perspective sometimes. I was surprised it wasn't Jason Kelsey, by the way.
Yeah.
At center. It was Nick Mangold.
Oh, he had a hell of a career,
too. He was really good.
Yeah.
He was like Joe Thomas, though, stuck on a bad team. Because Mangold was on the Jets. I mean, they had the butt fumble stuff where they made it to the playoffs at least a little bit, but...
Yeah,
I mean, he never made it to a Super Bowl.
Man, he was a part of that. He's the butt fumble guy. At least he's not the embarrassing end. All he was doing is standing there. He's just doing his job.
Yeah, Mark Sanchez. Thank you very much.
He didn't do anything wrong. You know, he didn't do anything wrong, so we're fine.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get back to the Royals. Hunter Renfrow DFA'd by the Royals today. Nick Lofton called up from AAA Omaha. Josh Vernier is going to join us, our Royals insider. We'll get his perspective on that decision by the Royals today and what that could mean for other potential moves on the horizon for the Royals organization. But while we're still talking to Chiefs football during the Chiefs Red Half Hour, James Palmer was on with Kay Adams talking about Patrick Mahomes and seeing these other quarterbacks get deals. Most recently was Brock Purdy, and with that, it means Mahomes, from an average salary per year standpoint, goes down the list a little bit. So could we see an extension soon?
I think Patrick, like I mentioned, the comparison to Brady, the amount of money they make off the field, they put into account and what they do in terms of hamstringing a team on the field in terms of salary cap. I would say we know this contract is so unique compared to every other deal in the NFL with the length of it, with the terms. I'll say this, Kay, like, the relationship between Patrick and the front office and the constant communication of, like, are you happy? Are you good where you're at? Is very, very good. And he will always be compensated accordingly. But I do know that he thinks of things a little bit differently. I think he'll be completely fine with what's to come.
I guess a lot of this is, how lucky are you that you actually got the quarterback who's not going to scratch for every dime? But I also think that there's, in a weird way, Gold, he's fortunate to be able to be that quarterback because his off-season earning potential, let's say that of Brock Purdy, who just signed a contract, is what? Tenfold? Like, how much more will Patrick Mahomes make in endorsements over the next 10 years than Brock Purdy will? 10 times as much?
Is Brock even in a commercial?
I don't know. Maybe some Asics commercial or something. You know, I don't know. He's probably got some deal. That just feels like a
Asics.
Like, yeah. It's got, I was thinking like a lower shoe brand.
Or like the Skechers. Yeah, the Skechers. Like
Skechers Shape Ups or something. Yeah, sure, fine. Brock Purdy might be getting that deal, but he's not getting the Doritos. He's not getting the massive local deals. Patrick Mahomes is the most marketable quarterback in the league. You can take a more team-friendly, structured contract than any quarterback in the league.
You can also do it because it also takes the organization being willing to have that kind of years on the deal too. We always talk about it as the player's side of it. And it's an easy decision to do with Mahomes. You're not worried about 8 or 10 years and what he's going to be, but like Brock Purdy, the Niners would, even if you wanted to give him flexibility, the Niners were never signing him to a 10-year deal because there's still some questions about what he might end up being long-term in this league. So Mahomes is willing to be flexible. Yes, no doubt. Allowing them to build a team around him. He has talked so much about how he recognizes legacy and wants to make sure they keep having a winning talent around him so he can keep winning rings as well. But it also requires your organization being willing to sign you to a 10-year deal, to have the cash on hand, all that stuff that goes in, to have the ownership that's willing and able to do that kind of stuff. It sounds so simple. Like anybody would have done it for 10 years. Sure. But there's still some challenges. We ran into this with the Raiders many years ago with the Khalil Mack thing, right? There was reports that they didn't have enough cash on hand maybe to get his extension done. That was maybe one of the reasons they were willing to trade him to Chicago. Or do I have that backwards? Yeah. No, that was it. Yeah.
So. Isn't it nice, though, that in the report he said, you know, he's like Tom Brady and the fact that he's got a good relationship with the team. It's nice to, I'm sure it's nice to, as Chiefs fans, for you guys to root for a team that has a good relationship with the team.
Well, because Patrick Mahomes recognizes that it's okay to spend money on defense, you know, and it's okay to build a roster around him.
He didn't want to
advocate just to pay Travis Kelce and just to pay Tyreek Hill. He said, look, I get it. You guys, we can't afford Tyreek Hill. We need to make sure we can, you know, have some draft picks and build this defense up and go get guys for our offensive line and all this. And I can still win rings. Sounds like a plan. Whereas I don't think Joe Burrow and the Bengals understand that, Drew.
Mahomes is good with being the 8th best ranked quarterback, according to Pro Football Focus.
Learn the lesson. Unless for some reason you've drafted Steve Young behind it, if he still wants to play, Patrick Mahomes is your starting quarterback. Do not make the Tom Brady mistake. Don't let him go sit around.
Well, you also always choose the quarterback over the coach later in the
game. Yeah, don't let him sit around and don't make me watch Patrick Mahomes 12 years from now in a Bucks uniform trying to win a Super Bowl with another team. Because he might do it. Just to spite you, he might do it. Give him a lifetime contract. Do whatever you got to do. Because like the one time the 49ers did it with Montana, they don't look all that dumb. They had a future Hall of Famer behind him. And I would say in the Packers case, when they let Brett Favre walk, they had a different future Hall of Famer. So unless you got a future Hall of Famer behind him, and even then, I'd lean towards, if you have one of the 5 greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, maybe just let that guy ride off into the sunset. Like part of me is like, I'm stuck on that. Like if you got one of the 5 great, why did they ever let Tom Brady put on another uniform? That's crazy.
I think part of it depends on the coach.
Crazy.
It's not like, because the Patriots are going to be different than the Chiefs are going to be, because Andy Reid's not going to be coaching Mahomes at the end of Mahomes' career. You know, it's going to be somebody else. Or does that coach say, look, Mahomes is on his,
whoever that guy is, he's got no clout over Mahomes.
I know, I'm just saying, but if you're the head coach and you're winning still and you're like, look, man, we need to find a way to keep this thing going when Mahomes is done. We need to get somebody else to bring him in, or they want to move on.
No, I'm not listening to that guy. That guy can kick rocks.
Do you stick with the head coach or do you stick with the quarterback?
I'm choosing the quarterback always in this spot, especially as Cody said, at that point in time, there's no way anybody will be at even Andy Reid, like nobody will be at Andy Reid's level to where you can say, okay, no, there's a decision being made. Like there's whoever the replacement is will not be at the level of where you're already at with your coach now. So there's
crazy. It sounds like history repeats itself. It happened to Joe Montana. It happened to Tom Brady. It happened to Peyton Manning.
We're saying they should choose him. I'm not arguing that teams have not made the mistake and chosen the.
I'm just saying that based on history, I know it's not with the Chiefs, but you would think that.
I got way more examples of guys who just played the rest of their career.
I know, I think it's more likely that Mahomes does not. Everything, if Mahomes is 42 and he's playing still and he wants to keep playing as a Chief, I think based on history, the Chiefs will move on from Mahomes at 42, then keep Mahomes at 42.
It depends. Does Patrick Mahomes love his head coach? Is he still playing great football?
I think
Is there the other scenario? Have the Chiefs had a year in which Mahomes just got hurt, so they have a top five pick when he's 40, entering his 42-year-old season. They think
like
there's a future
Andrew
star.
Luckier, yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
You know, there's those,
that Peyton too,
those
obviously.
Scenarios, yes. But I think if you tell me that they just lost in the Super Bowl and he's 41 and he's going into 40, you know, be 42 years old, he's still playing well, he's healthy, him and his coach, whoever that is, down that in that point, are fine in their relationship, then no, I don't think they'd move on.
There's
I think
a lot of different factors, of course.
Yeah, there's just so much we don't know 10
yeah.
years
exactly.
from now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't
I'll
think the Colts
50,
ever move on from Peyton Manning.
50-year-old Sean McVay, I'll take that head coach.
Perfect.
How old is he
50?
Now? Is
that, that's,
see,
that'd
hold
be
on.
Way too old. That's like 15 years from now.
No, he's, so he's, young, he's 39. So I'll take 48-year-old Sean McVay, 47-year-old, 46-year-old, actually. You know, Andy, let's say he gets five more years. How about 45-year-old, 44-year-old Sean McVay?
I don't think the Colts would have ever moved on from Peyton Manning had he not gotten hurt. They had the number one overall pick in a year. Not just that, Drew.
They were tanking.
In a year when everyone agreed mm-hmm. that the top quarterback in the draft was a can't-miss guy. It's like they didn't have a choice.
And I know that you're on record saying you don't think teams tank, Cody. That is the one example of team. They played.
Suck
they,
for luck.
They played Kerry Collins at 38 years old, and they played Curtis Painter,
What was their backup plan? Peyton Manning had started like 16 games a year for like 12 years straight. They weren't supposed to have a backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
To me, that's not tanking. Just you had no choice. Your starting quarterback got hurt for the year. Every team's going to suck in that scenario.
They were that bad, though, where I don't
know. She's got to roll out Gardner Minshew. It's not going to go great.
They were worse than Will Levis, which is hard to do.
I don't know, man. 38-year-old
he had a veteran. He was playing at 38 because he at least was able enough to have a career that allowed him to still play when he's 38.
Well,
he would have been out of the league. Will Levis is pacing to be out of the league in a couple years. Kerry Collins made it in the league for 10-plus years.
Yeah, I was about to say, Kerry Collins' career is looking probably longer than that, right? I mean, he played until he was 38.
Kerry Collins, he was in the longer
17
that.
Years in the league. You're comparing him to Will Levis?
Disrespect.
That is disrespectful.
The disrespect for Kerry Collins.
I'm
just saying, when he played for the Colts, he sucked. And then Curtis Painter came in, and he was worse.
Nobody's saying he was great, but you got to be in the league for 17 years, you're not trash. You know what I mean?
No, I'm not saying his career is terrible. I'm saying for the Colts that year, he was off.
Seven.
No, I'm saying they tanked because they rolled him out. They rolled them out when they didn't have to. They could have picked anybody off the street and it would have been better than the two that they played. They tanked for Andrew.
I think there's some element. Quarterback wise, I don't know if that's true though. I mean, I have to go back and look who was the other quarterback options that year. I mean, we run into that every year. Like this year, there's teams where we're like
2011.
The Browns drafted Gabriel and Shador Sanders, but like Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett are still their two options. The Browns aren't tanking this year. They might suck, but they're not tanking.
They were tanking last year.
And before they drafted Gabriel and Sanders, Joe Flacco and Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett are their plan of quarterback. So, I mean, are they tanking? No, they just suck.
Do we know the year that this happened? Was it 2010 or 2011?
Oh, for luck?
Yes.
We can look during the break. We got to get to a break.
There had to have been somebody else who was better than the guys that they rolled out.
We'll let you do some digging on that. Up next, we'll get to what's trending, and then we'll talk more about Hunter Renfrow being designated for assignment by the Royals as Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, joins us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.